I find joy in my life.
By reading quietly.
Through laughter. Through exercise.
In my hobby of baking.
With my family and friends.
In being in nature.
In running.
In investing in the relationships that bring my life meaning.
When I can put my toes in the sand and hear the crashing of the waves.
Welcome to Joy of Medicine on Call, where we explore the many paths physicians take to find joy in our practice of medicine. I am your host, Dr. Rajiv Mesquita, and I look forward to your engagement in this exciting program. From the Sierra Sacramento Valley Medical Society, please be sure to stay tuned for our 5-minute meditation at the end of this episode. Okay. I'd like to welcome today Dr. John Wiesenfarth, an emergency medicine physician at the Permanente Medical Group in Sacramento. He's affiliated with several hospitals, which include the Roseville Medical Center and the Sacramento Kaiser Permanente Medical Center. John received his medical degree from Chicago Medical School at Rosalind Franck University and has been in practice for more than 20 years. What's interesting, too, is that Dr. Wiesenfarth has also worked as a firefighter and an emergency medical technician. That's pretty amazing, John. That's pretty amazing. So he took the time out of his day to come in today to spend a few minutes with us. So welcome.
Thank you, Rajiv. It's great to be here.
Great. So, John, I'd like to start off by asking you how you actually decided to go into medicine. What made you go into medicine?
You know, that's a good question. I think it all happened when I was young. It's kind of interesting, but growing up, I actually worked on cars and restored automobiles, old
wow.
Mustangs, old Volkswagens. And it kind of hit me that, you know, I like fixing things and I like people. So let's fix people.
Wow. Wow. That's pretty amazing. So you must have some old Mustang or something out there in the back. That's pretty amazing.
I think my wife's happy that I've actually gotten rid of all the old project cars.
That's great. Now, John, you know, today's topic, as you know, is in regards to joy in medicine and sort of the stress that we all face. Was there a certain instance or something that happened to you that made you more interested in this topic? Or was there a critical point that you came to that you felt you needed to make a change? Or do you feel like your lifestyle right now is fine?
Having worked for Kaiser for over 20 years, I've held several administrative positions, you know, assistant chief of Sacramento, chief of Roseville, and then assistant physician in chief of the hospital. And through those job duties, you get to know your employees and you get to know the other physicians, and you kind of get an inner look at some of the issues that drive those physicians and that those physicians struggle with. And I realized along the way that all physicians at some point in their career kind of hit the wall. And I think, you know, we used words like burnout and, you know, just tired. And as you know, physicians tend to leave medicine sometimes. Not all physicians, but some physicians just leave medicine because it's just too much of a burden for them.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Along the way, I realized, you know, something needs to be done for this. And I think we are all, as physicians, most of us are afraid to admit it.
Yeah.
Afraid to admit that we have a weakness because we're so used to fixing everybody that we're afraid to fix ourselves or to admit to somebody that I need fixing.
Yeah. Yeah. Physicians are perfectionists almost. We're
yeah.
just used to doing everything.
Yeah.
You know, I'd like to dial back a little bit, John, and sure. go back to the beginning. Mm-hmm. What made you go from being a firefighter and an EMT to an emergency medicine physician? I mean, that does seem to me like a natural progression. You know,
yeah.
you're working your way to the ER from
right.
outside the fire zone, but what made you do that?
You know, interestingly enough, I went to UC Davis as an undergraduate, and I was just looking for something to do, and the fire department had some openings, and so I actually became a volunteer firefighter for the city of Davis, not the university. University had some hired help, but the city had some volunteers, and I decided to volunteer there and started receiving the training, and I think I just loved the excitement of it. I mean, I could tell you stories vividly that are 25 plus years ago about fighting fires in an apartment building, of where you're basically, the fire has erupted into flames. The flames are, you know, 1,500 feet in the air,
yeah.
And you've got a hose and you're basically breaking in a window and going in the building and, you know, putting out the fire. And I guess that's an adrenaline junkie. So yeah. I just kind of naturally progressed from that to becoming an EMT. And a little known fact, I actually was a volunteer firefighter in the city of Acme.
Oh,
you know, Acme, the town.
The Roadrunner, right, exactly.
Exactly, yes, yes. So yeah. Acme is a small little town in...
Where is Acme?
In Michigan. It's the upper lower peninsula of Michigan.
So it's not fake and made up. It is real.
It really is, and packages do come from there. But yeah, that was fun. And then I actually tried to get into medical school right out of UC Davis and was unsuccessful. I realized that later on I was unsuccessful because back in that day before the internet, I was applying just to California medical schools. Mm-hmm. But I took a job at Genentech in South San Francisco where we made TPA, tissue plasminogen and activator, which we now use for heart attacks and strokes.
Sure, yeah.
And human growth hormone and stuff. And actually, my boss pulled me aside one day to scold me for being too cavalier.
Hmm.
And I said, "What do you mean?" He said, "Well, you have too much fun at work. And, we are trying to do a job here." And I said, "Yes, but the job is being done to basically perfection. No mistakes are being made. Everybody's happy. Everybody shows up to work on time. The production is actually better than it was before I started." And he said, "Yes, but you're just too happy." And I thought about that, and I said, "You know, I don't think I can work for this guy for the rest of my life. I better try medical school one more time."
So thanks to him, you made a switch in your career.
Yeah.
That's interesting. And, you know, having known John, just a personal note, since he's on the board of directors at the Sierra Sacramento Valley Medical Society, I will say that is actually true about him. He likes to have fun no matter where he is, which is great. It's just fantastic, John. Tell us, John, about the situation in terms of the work-life balance. Earlier you mentioned that you encountered, you know, physicians having difficulties and, if you will, a fire in American medicine. You know, we're faced with physician burnout at its highest, according to the literature that we see out there. And so you're experiencing this with your firefighting nature.
Right.
And how, you know, what do you do? How do you go about this? How do you go about this for yourself or for others?
You know, the way I look at it is that, you know, you have a finite amount of time every day. And you have you have three buckets for that time. You have the work bucket, the family bucket, and then your own bucket. So you basically have to divide your time between work, family, and yourself. And I think physicians are constantly starving the for themselves bucket to put it into the work bucket, because I think just as a physician, just the type of people that go into medicine are perfectionists, like you mentioned earlier. They want to do a good job, and I think the burdens of time come upon us, and we still want to strive to do a good job, so we have to steal that time from somewhere.
Yeah.
And I think we're all guilty if we steal it from the family bucket, so we're constantly stealing it from the bucket where we're supposed to take care of ourselves.
Yeah.
And I think that's probably the root of the problem. And we need to figure out how to steal that time back or to take care of ourselves, be more efficient with the time that's left in that bucket for ourselves.
What a great analogy. You know, as physicians, we spend most of our time, we dedicate it to others, you know, and rightly so. But at the same time, we should maybe also be taking care of ourselves, as you mentioned.
Yeah.
And, you know, on that vein, how do you create work-life balance? I know you have... an interest in winemaking, is that right? I mean, when did that happen? How did that happen?
Well, that's actually a funny story, but you know, all good things in life just kind of happen by happenstance. And You know, as you know, working for Kaiser, we had some year-end projects that we had to do where we had to be collaborative with other departments.
Yeah.
And we were striving to find something a little more creative. And, you know, again, being here over 20 years, I've spent many a conference time or many a time with other departments breaking down the silo barriers in the basement of the hospital with no windows after hours. And I thought, you know, there has to be a better way. So I was talking to one of our neurologists who actually happens to have a property up in the foothills. And he, I think he said about 7 acres of Syrah grapes. And he said, well, you know, my Syrah grapes need to be harvested. And he, I think he's tired of doing them himself. So we said, well, let's make wine together. So we got the neurologists, some HBS docs, some emergency medicine physicians, and we got together at daylight one morning, just first dawn, and we came out with our little shears. We literally handpicked over a ton of grapes.
Wow.
Crushed them, destemmed them at that the same day, and then but all the time while you're, you know, going down the vineyard clipping grapes, you get to get some very good and interesting conversations.
Yeah.
And as you try to break down the barriers, there's something about you just can't get mad at your colleague over something when you're picking grapes. You just can't, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
So we started with that, and that first batch actually tasted okay. It wasn't vinegar.
Yeah.
And I thought, I have a friend who makes wine and sells it to the local restaurants, and I brought it over to him, and he said, you know, this isn't half bad. So I decided to go again and give it another try this last year. And luckily, we have a Dr. Herringer in our emergency department. And Herringer Wineries happens to be right down in Clarksville, across from Bogle Winery. So we guilted her into getting us some of their grapes during the harvest. And so we made a little Primitivo and Cabernet this last year.
Wow.
And I must say the Cabernet turned out to be pretty good. So I brought you a bottle,
and
as a
well,
Christmas gift, as a holiday gift, and
we'll probably save it for later.
Okay.
So is it Wiesenfarth Winery? Oh, it is. Oh
yes.
My goodness,
mm-hmm.
The Wiesenfarth family Cabernet Sauvignon. Wow, you are very talented. It's incredible. So you found doing something outside of medicine completely to be useful.
You know, it really is. It's healing to just get your mind off of medicine, and it really lets you recharge the batteries.
Yeah.
It just takes your mind completely off of medicine, completely off the electronic medical record, completely off, you know, all the patient notifications and such. So, yeah.
So, you know, John, speaking to you and listening to you here, you know, I can see the humor and the laughter that's just part of you. And as someone told me this, that you had a reality TV experience. Can you tell us more about it? What was the name of the show?
It was called Meet Mr. Mom.
You were Mr. Mom.
I was Mr. Mom. Now, I'm going to say it was on NBC, and it was at primetime NBC, but it was probably one of the worst reality TV shows that was ever on TV. It did not get renewed for a second season, but it was actually quite an experience. The premise of the show, basically, was they took busy families. I have four kids, and so they take busy families with four-plus kids, and they basically take mom away to a spa in Napa. And then they leave dads at home to do challenges. So every day there was a challenge. For instance, the first day while I was at my kid's Little League game, they literally came and cleaned out the kitchen. Just cleaned it out. No food, food, silverware, pots, pans.
Gone.
Spices, everything just gone. And then they come back and they say, okay, you know, you've got 1 hour to basically buy all the food and everything you're going to need to take care of your kids for the next week.
Oh, my goodness,
yeah. So, but it was fun. I really had a good time.
Oh.
It was a week long. They followed you with cameras.
Wow.
Pretty much 24/7 for a week. And
so did the dads get to go to spas too there? Or?
No.
You were in the kitchen,
yes,
right?
Exactly, in the kitchen, yes. Yeah, so, but it was, we had a great time. It was a great experience, I think, for
that's
the kids
great.
As well, but,
Well, that's so good. And you know, John, as an emergency medicine physician, you work in probably one of the most high-stress situations in a hospital. You know, that's where a lot of the stress occurs. How do you incorporate laughter and all of this into your practice. I mean, you look great. You look very relaxed, and you're over 22 years into your practice. Right? What is it that you do to incorporate joy there?
You know, I think you have to incorporate laughter in what you do, and I really try to do it. You know, unfortunately, my kids know me as the very corny jokester, and they just put up with my corny jokes. But you know, sometimes you go in patients, you size them up, but yeah. Most of the people don't want to be in the emergency department. They don't choose to be there, and yeah. When they are there, they're concerned about something. And sometimes a little humor goes a long way and gives a little levity to the situation. So, you know, I do try to joke with the patients a little bit just to make sure that everything's okay. And but, you know, obviously you have to size up the person, the culture and stuff to make sure it's appropriate. Yeah. I do that. And then, you know, I got to say we have an excellent group of physicians. I mean, we have over 150 physicians now, ER physicians at Staff Sacramento and Roseville.
Yeah.
And I think our big draw to the candidates when they come and interview is that they see the interaction and the laughter and the camaraderie that we have, you know, in the doctor's office, because I think you have to have that, because you're right, it is stressful. You get very stressful cases, and we help each other out. So if there is truly a stressful or intense case, there's so many physicians working at that time that somebody always tends to come and help that person out so that they don't feel alone. And I think if you don't feel alone, you have a little humor, I think that goes a long way to longevity of the career.
So you found that connection and humor mm-hmm. has been really important to you.
Yes.
Yeah. How do you make time for all these things? Do you plan it or schedule it, or you just let it happenstance, you know, just happen?
Well, if you talk to my wife, she thinks it just happens. But there really is a little bit of planning that goes in there. But yeah, I think you do need to plan in certain breaks. And as you know, you're very busy yourself, and I see your calendar, and you know, you're booked solid, you know, through all the daylight hours and even into the evenings. And so you know the importance of, okay, knowing your limits, I can go maybe 3 days with dinner meetings. But that fourth day, I really need a break, so I'm going to have to move that meeting somewhere else so I can get a workout or do yoga or do something to break that up.
So being deliberate about the schedule, treating your hobbies and your pastime as actually almost serious, like you're putting it on the schedule.
Right.
You know,
right.
And then setting it up so that you're not set up for failure.
Right. Yeah. But, you know, this sounds good now, yeah. But that's because my last one went off to college, and so... For the last several months, that's how it is. But honestly, for the last decade or more with four kids and competitive sports and in school and trying to make all their activities, I yeah. really wanted to be there for the kids. So that is where the priority was, to making sure I would make their games or their performances. And then the other stuff kind of had to fall into the nooks and crannies that were left. Now that the last one's gone, I've got more time. I mean, I'll admit to you that the other day I actually was worked out at the gym,
yeah.
was driving by the high school,
yeah.
and I pulled in because I realized that the two rival high schools were playing each other, and I said, you know, I've been going to these games for over 10 years now with my
kids. Goodness.
So I just pulled in, didn't have any kids playing, and I walked in and just watched, you know, part of the soccer game.
Sure.
And
yeah.
the funny part is, two other dads who also have multiple kids and their youngest also left.
We're met me there
and
there.
Said, yeah, I said, what are you doing here? Can't get enough. I said, yeah, I know. Isn't it funny?
Oh, my goodness. So definitely planning and ensuring you're there for the important moments in your life, because
yeah.
they are fleeting.
Yes.
And adjusting accordingly. And it looks like you've achieved that balance. You know, you seem yeah. really happy about what you've done. You know, John, there are a couple of questions that we're getting to called the lightning round questions. I'm just going to ask a question,
yeah.
and then whatever comes to mind, I'll just
okay.
have you react to it.
Okay.
So first, can you reflect on something that brought you joy in the last week?
You know, actually, this last week, I actually bought two gift certificates to McCooney's for winners of our department fitness challenge.
Ah.
So this summer, I was actually on an airplane with one of our fellow female colleagues that also has multiple kids, and she happened to tell me that she was like this athlete that was doing the Murphy and the Spartan 300. And I looked at her and I said, there's no way. Like, where do you find the time? And then I said, you know, I'm going to challenge you. And then from that discussion, we made it into a department-wide challenge. We invited everybody. So we did a competitive challenge for 8 weeks where you had to do a certain amount of workouts. And then the last one was just this. We took a break, and then we did this last one right before Thanksgiving so that we can feel less guilty about, you know, eating all that Thanksgiving meal. But every time that somebody entered, or completed a week, they put in a drawing, and then or an entry into a drawing, and then I drew those names, and I think it was bringing a lot of happiness to everybody, because everybody came up to me and said, you know, thank you, you know, I'm now participating. I didn't think I'd be working out, but just the little bit you did, you know, made a difference. And I said, you know, I think that, you know, just a little bit, you know,
can so in doing something for others, you felt the joy coming back.
Yeah,
that's pretty amazing. John, what is the best advice you've ever received?
Oh, boy. I would say be responsible for your own actions. I think...
Deep words.
Deep words, but I think that that's, you know, be responsible. If you need the help, if you're feeling stressed, don't expect somebody to throw you a life preserver. You got to make the first step. I mean, hopefully there's somebody out there that will see you and help you along the way, but, you know, you kind of still have to be responsible for your own
actions. You're in control of your destiny.
Exactly.
Good advice. Yeah. John, what is a book you can recommend that helped you find joy?
So that's funny, because I don't have any self-help books, and I wish I read some, but I have been reading more. And the last book I read, one of the last books I read was Moby Dick.
Oh, okay.
And I read it because I was reading some other books, and I realized that I read that in like AP English in high school, but I haven't touched it since. And it was a book written in the 18 by Herman Melville, like in from the 1800s about whaling, and it was a hard read. It literally took me over a month to get through, but it was actually a fun book to get through, because we all know Moby Dick, but if I asked everybody out there, I'd bet you know less than 1 in 10 has reread it or remembers the narrative of it. And there's another book that. And I don't know the author, is called The President's Club. And I actually found that one intriguing. And that was basically where they talked about all the ex-presidents and how they get together. And they kind of are an advisor to the White House and to the current president. You know, that no matter what goes wrong in the White House, you know, that they're there as a backup to kind of give advice and help. And I said, you know, we almost need that in medicine. We need the people that have made it to retirement and that have made a difference and have found a way to be joyful in medicine, and they need to act as like an advice group to those doctors that are struggling.
What a brilliant idea, because you have this natural brain trust right there.
Yeah.
That sounds great, John. Who is someone you admire, John?
You know, Rajiv? It's you.
No, I hope you're not just saying that, because we're sitting across the air.
No, because, I've known you for years, and you are always so calm and so centered that when sometimes I feel like I'm coming in and I've got so many things in so many different directions that things are just, you know, the balls that I'm juggling are all just falling on the ground. I always look to you, and I know you're juggling the same amount of balls, if not more, but you just seem so centered and so calm, and you're always so gracious. Like at the meetings, leading us through just a couple minutes of meditation or yoga, it's so self-centering. And I know you have, I've met your family, you've got a wonderful wife and wonderful kids, and I said, boy, you know, he is the pillar. He is the guy that we should be making a TV show about.
John, thank you so much for those kind words. thank you. Yeah. John, what are you most grateful for?
My health. And I think as we get older and we start seeing people that are sick, we start seeing people that are younger than us getting sick. We start seeing colleagues that are coming down with illnesses and even, you know, just truly fatal illnesses.
Yeah.
And it's sad. And it almost, I can understand how this post-traumatic stress happens, because as you go through and you have friends dying, and I don't know if I can mention on air, but there's a wonderful UC Davis professor that recently passed away. Mm-hmm. And he and I were actually hired at Kaiser the same year. And you know, it's just sad. And you when you see other people getting fatal illnesses and you're still able to get up and go to work every day, I understand, because you're asking, why me?
Yeah.
I got up today. I'm feeling good. I don't have cancer. I don't have a fatal illness. Why me? Why am I still alive? Why is so-and-so, you know, not doing well? And, you know, it's a kind of an unnerving thing. But you know.
The nature of our job brings us in touch with reality.
Yeah.
That's interesting. John, how do you take time for yourself?
Well, now that my last one has gone off to college just a few months ago, I enjoy. I just went biking today. I got a good 20 miles in on the bike trail,
great.
And that was a short ride. So that's nice. And I'm exercising regularly, thanks to you too. And getting my yoga in. I did yoga.
Glad to hear
that. I'm trying to get it in at least once a week.
Oh, great.
And I'm taking time, and I have more time. My wife and I saw a wonderful play at B Street Theater yesterday, and it's just nice to actually, you know, we talked about those buckets of time.
Yes. Yeah.
I've got a little more time in the bucket for me, and that allows me to spend more time with my family. And
yeah, wow. So. John, what is a step listeners can take in the next 24 hours to find joy?
You know, I think it's those mindful moments. And that's what I try to do, especially when I'm hurried, is, you know, being present, being in the moment. And I think you taught us that, where I think you had this thing where we had a raisin and we would feel it, and we would, you know, feel it in our fingers and then put it in our mouth, and we would rub it around and really concentrate on that. And now, how many times we just pop a raisin in and we just swallow it and ready for the next one? But it's being that mindfulness of being in the moment, looking around and seeing the joy in everything, you know. And now with the holiday lights, you know, going down, just, you know, seeing all the houses decorated. And So I guess, you know, just taking a moment for yourself and just being mindful in the moment.
Thank you, John. This has just been a delightful evening. You've taught us about so much, about the concept of three buckets, one for work, the other for family, and the third for yourself, and how to be deliberate as to where you put your time and energy.
Right.
And also about the power of laughter and connection and camaraderie, and how that has helped you so much. I want to thank you so much on behalf of the Sierra Sacramento Valley Medical Society for really taking the time out of your day to come and share your wisdom with all of us.
Thank you, Rajiv. Thank you for your time.
And maybe we can break out a glass of wine a little bit later.
Right. Okay.
Thank you. Sounds good.
All right. Thanks.
Let's begin a visualization meditation. First, pay attention to your posture. If you're seated, place your feet firmly on the floor, your hands on your lap. If you like, you can lie down on your back with your hands at your side. You can gently close your eyes if you prefer. Draw your attention to your breath as you feel the air going in and out of your nostrils. Imagine there's a long staircase in front of you, and at the bottom is this wide expanse of a beautiful white sand beach. Maybe it's a beach that you've been to before. You see yourself on the staircase, walking down towards the beach. As you take each stair, you feel more and more relaxed. You slowly descend onto the beach sand. The temperature feels very comfortable. You can feel the sand between the toes of your feet. It feels very cool as it moves between the toes and the bottom of your feet. You slowly walk down the beach, gazing at the ocean. You can see the waves crashing on the beach and the surf building up. You walk close towards the water and feel it moving around your toes. As you look out, you can see the blue ocean. You can even see a sailboat with the sails blowing as it gently moves along. You also hear seagulls as you see them flying away. You feel more and more relaxed. You sit down on the sand and feel the cool sand around you. Gazing forward, you can see the horizon bending around. You feel the warm sun on you. If your thoughts drift anywhere else, you bring them right back to where you are. You feel very relaxed as the tension in your body melts away. You feel ready to handle anything that might come your way. You can rest as long as you like, or at your own pace, gently open your eyes as you slowly wake up, feeling refreshed. Thank you. Please be sure to visit our website at joyofmedicine.org, where we have many more materials on wellness.